question was asked, the way we observe, celebrate Yom Kippur today has a lot of liturgy. We have a lot of piyutim that were developed in the last millennium. What was Yom Kippur like 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago? How did it develop? Why did it develop? And that's in a nutshell the question, the involvement of Yom Kippur, the why and the how. I would like to go back. You began your question with the first temple period, and I want to go back to Bemet, first to second temple period. The Talmud tells us that throughout the first Beit HaMikdash, in the first temple period, there was a tremendous yetzer hara for avodah zarah. People had a tremendous desire for serving idols. And then in the beginning of the second temple, so the Navi in Zechariah describes this scene where the rabbis are standing and talking, and then he describes the wickedness that came out and what God says about the wickedness. Chazal say that scene that is described in Zechariah is in fact what the men of the Great Assembly did at that time, the beginning of the Second Temple period. It's the wickedness is the description of the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, where our sages decided that in some Kabbalistic way they would capture that desire. And so they prayed and they said whatever they said, and then they saw this little pup of fire, like the form of a puppy, like a young lion. A little puppy comes out of the Holy of Holies, and they shackled it up and they sealed it, and that was it. Then they captured the desire for paganism. So that's the vivid description we have in the Talmud and in the Navi Zechariah. The Chasam Sofer explains. The Chasam Sofer says, we find in the period of the first Beit HaMikdash, the first temple period, that people were running around to serve idols because they couldn't get it up to the Beit HaMikdash. People wanted to bring korbanot, they wanted to bring sacrifices. That was the only way they could see to connect to Hashem. The major theme during the first Beit HaMikdash period was avodah, serving Hashem, was bring a sacrifice to the temple. Well, if you lived in the Golan, you had to take off a month of dealing with your farm, dealing with your family, make sure everything's taken care of to make the trek down to Yerushalayim. Maybe you went with your wife, maybe you went without her, maybe you went with your kids, maybe without them. But that was quite a journey. And you had to set up everything in advance. People couldn't come so often. If they came three regalim, which they did, if they came for the three holidays, that was huge. What about the rest of the year? Where were people getting their social, their spiritual, their soul, their spiritual nourishment? They didn't find an outlet. So the easiest way was they'd build an altar in their backyard in honor of Hashem. And that would evolve into paganism. So that's the recurring theme in the book of Melachim, Kings. That's what's happening in the time of the first Beit HaMikdash. So what did the rabbis do? The Chasam Sofer says when we're taught that they conquered the desire for paganism, what that means is they instituted the prayer the way we know it. When we say the men of the Great Assembly taught us the 18 blessings, we say Shmona Esrei. Three times a day we speak to Hashem. When they instituted that, that was how they conquered the desire for paganism. When man had a way to express his need for connection with his Creator, when he no longer had to make the ascent to Jerusalem, and he no longer had to build an altar in his backyard, but three times a day he was talking to his Creator, when they institutionalized that, with that they abolished the desire for paganism. That's the Chasam Sofer's interpretation. And so when we go from the era of the first Beit HaMikdash, where the focus is to a large degree the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash, even though people had a mitzvah to daven, but they didn't compose their own tefillot. Most people said, good morning, God, thank you for waking me this morning. I hope I have a successful day. And that was it. And then they went on with their work. They didn't have set prayer. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu established tefillah, as the Medrash Tanhuma says 2 weeks ago in Parshat Ki Tavo, it didn't stick. Only when the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly in the Second Temple period, only when they established Shmona Esrei, that prayer, three times a day, does it stick. Now people don't have a need to set up altars or go towards paganism. And so the era of the Second Beit HaMikdash onward is an era of development of tefillah. Man needs to connect to Hashem, whereas in the first Beit HaMikdash, the Navi says, our connection was so focused through the Beit HaMikdash that people believed, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Eima, They said, we are the people of the temple. And when the temple was destroyed, they believed they were no longer obligated to observe Judaism altogether. They couldn't believe such a thing would happen. And then the Navi Chizkel has to tell them, that's not so. You became God's people when he took you out of Mitzrayim without a temple. You owe it to him, and it's irrelevant. If there is or isn't a temple, you are still obligated to the Torah, which was a new concept for them. The second Beit HaMikdash would not see a repeat of that. The Beit HaMikdash becomes a place of respect. We serve Hashem there, but our connection to Hashem is in the Jew. Suddenly, Judaism became about the Jewish people more so than about the Beit HaMikdash, which is the truth. The Beit HaMikdash is still central and key to us. It is the apex and, to a certain degree, the essence of living in Eretz Yisrael, even though sometimes people would say differently, that all of Torah is Eretz Yisrael, etc. But it says in the Gemara, it says in many places, that the essence of Eretz Yisrael is really the Beit HaMikdash. So there's definitely that perspective that the Beit HaMikdash is where we're headed, and that's our focus. But nonetheless, our Judaism is today not temple-based. We're all thriving as a people in our observance of Torah and mitzvot, and our focus is Torah and tefillah, and Am Yisrael, and keeping mitzvot. And the Beit HaMikdash, people can even forget it. People had a fast day yesterday of Tzom Gedaliah, and a kid asks me, can I play guitar on Tzom Gedaliah? I said, it's not a sur. The kid asks me, but is it the spirit of the day? I said, you're asking the right question. It's not the spirit of the day. You're not supposed to play guitar on Tzom Gedaliah, because Tzom Gedaliah is the essence of the destruction of Jerusalem. And we start our year with Tzom Gedaliah. But to most people, I just came off of Rosh Hashanah and I'm focused on Yom Kippur. So Tzom Gedaliah falls by the wayside like that, you know. It's just a day. We barely even understand. The slichos we said yesterday were composed by Rashi. You know, the first slicha we said yesterday, Regavim, was composed by Rashi, Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, Rashi on the Tanakh. One of the most amazing slichos we say. But we're all rushing. You know, Tzom Gedaliah is not... We're not yet connecting the way we should to Tzom Gedaliah. But coming back to Second Temple period. So Second Beit HaMikdash, Chazal are developing. They're developing tefillah, they're developing brachot. All the brachot that we're making are being developed at that time. And from that period onward, we have this focus where tefillah is our connection to Hashem, and it has to develop. And in truth, it is. It is the heart of Judaism. It's so it's true that in the period of the Talmud, the Mishnah discusses, you're going to hear a shir on Yom Kippur, can you cross through the river? And we would ask, you're going to hear a shir on Yom Kippur, when do you have time? You know that. The Mishnah discusses a person who has so many things to do on Yom Kippur. And we would ask, who has time for all those things? But their tefillah on Yom Kippur was much shorter. So in the days of the second Beit HaMikdash, they were all, whoever could make it to the Beit HaMikdash would come. They weren't repeating all of this avodah, the seder avodah. Maybe they were learning it in the Torah, maybe they were learning tractate Yuma, but they didn't have to have it in the tefillah. Then we come to a period where we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. Now our tefillah on Yom Kippur is going to be a recounting of the avodah that would be in the Beit HaMikdash. We have the concept that the Gemara says, based on the pasuk, unshalema parim sefateinu. Our lip service counts as though we offered cows, as though we offered sacrifices. So now we're in a different place, and ever since then it's been evolving to encompass the needs of the people. So the needs of the people in Ashkenaz dealing with the pogroms are also reflected with the 10 martyrs that are mentioned in Yom Kippur. And the needs of the people, tefillah has to be alive. So it's true that it evolved. It evolved so it would continuously reflect the needs of Klal Yisrael. That's a nutshell. Now we're out of time. If you want, we'll do part 2 next class.